Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Silk on Dress Talk Radio Show. I am your host, the Lady CEO, CC Cole. Silk on Dress Lifestyle Lady CEO is an international professional women's magazine. We're just not your ordinary magazine. We are extraordinary. At Silk on Dress, our motto is everybody has a story. What's your story of glory? We utilize the success stories of other women as a conduit to empowerment, connecting women globally to inspire and motivate each other to follow their dreams. We praise the accomplishments of women. We celebrate women and embrace diversity and multiculturalism. We stimulate entrepreneurship. We force the growth opportunity and burst through glass ceilings. We encourage the inner voice of a woman to say, I can do all things. And most importantly, we share the jewels of wisdoms and mantras of presidents and prime ministers and Fortune 500 executives. Because once a woman's dream is realized, the world changes and success is cultivated. So that's who we are. Silk on Dress. Everybody has a story. What's your story of glory? So, okay, come on, here we go. We're going to go inside and hear another woman's story. Be motivated, be encouraged, because success is by design.
Well, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another great episode of the Silk on Dress Talk Radio Show. We are in the midst of celebrating our 25 Influential Women of 2016. This recognition is for small business owners, CEOs, young entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and trailblazers who have risen through the ranks, making a double mark in their industries and communities. These women exemplify power, courage, boldness, and humility. They are relentless in business and have learned that success is by design. All of you know that our motto here at Silk on Dress is that everybody has a story. What's your story of glory? And so today we're going to go inside to hear another woman's story. But before we do that, I want to let you know that everyone was sending in emails and asking when we will begin having an interview for our Distinguished Men of 2016. Well, we will begin starting those interviews next week. And I'm just going to name a few of the men because we haven't publicly released the list as of yet, but I'm going to give you a sneak preview. So part of our Distinguished Men list is the owner of Westgate Resort, Mr. David Siegel. We have Ambassador Neil Poisson, who's the Executive Secretary for the Integral Development of the Organizations of America. And also we have Mr. Tom Hart, which is the CEO of One.org, just to name a few. So for all of you who are anticipating the release of that list, that is a snapshot of the men that will be featured. And we are just having a blast. This is one of the most exciting times of the year for Silk on Dress team because we have an opportunity to just honor those who have given back so much to the community, who have paved the way for you and I, and who are not only leaving a legacy behind, but also that are practicing inclusion and bringing people along with them. So for that, we are grateful, and we're just honored to be able to shed some light on them this year. And today we have with us Ms. Rosie Allen Heron, who is the president and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. She's armed with more than 25 years of experience in the area of strategic leadership, public and private partnership development, corporate philanthropy, and community investment. Ms. Allen Heron brings to United Way a keen understanding of how to leverage resources and convene public and private entities to create a collective impact in the community, locally as well as nationally. Ms. Heron served as an International Fellow of the United States Southern Africa Center for Leadership and Public Values at the University of Cape Town Graduate School of Business, sharing the Bachelor's of Arts in Economics from Howard University and an MBA from Strayer University and a graduate of Duke University School of Public Policy. And we are honored to have listed her as one of the honorees for the Silk on Dress Influential Women of 2016. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. We have a lot of great things. We want to talk to Ms. Alan Heron about. And so without further ado, I present to some and introduce to others our honoree of 25 Influential Women of 2016. How are you doing this evening, Ms. Rosie?
I'm doing well, Ms. Cole. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening.
Well, thank you so very much. How was your day today?
It was great. It's been a long day, but I can tell you it's been a very impactful and fruitful day. So I was looking forward to this time, so I'm just glad to have the opportunity to share with you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I know that your time is short, but we do thank you for pausing out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us. We're deeply humbled to have you join us this evening. And so what I would like to do is just jump right in. We have a lot of things we want to talk about. So I just want to tell us where you're from, Rosie. Where are you from? Where are your roots planted?
My roots are southern. I am originally from Greenville, Mississippi, in the heart of the Delta in Mississippi, where I am the youngest of 10 children. And my parents have been my role models for years. And so that southern upbringing just helps me be who I am.
Wow, 10 children. What was that like? That must have been very inspiring.
I can tell you, it's you know, people always ask about that. My oldest sister, who is number one and I'm number 10, we've never lived in the same home because she was in college at the time that I was born. But I can tell you, they are some of my greatest inspirations because I learned very early on how to deal with different personalities and how to value and appreciate differences, and how you can learn something from everyone, no matter what, good or bad. And so I'm grateful for that family that I happened to be born into. I, of course, you know, had no choice, and I'm glad my parents didn't stop because I was the last one.
I can imagine. There was only three of us in one household. I tell you, I almost didn't make it. Being a baby and only girl, you know, it had its perks, and it certainly had its, you know, it had a lot of perks. But I tell you, my mother turned her back with a lot of downfall.
I understand. I do. I absolutely do.
Well, I want to go ahead and reminisce a little bit about your childhood, because I really believe that from, for instance, like you said, you came from a really big family, but I believe that when we're young, it really kind of prepares us and grounds us for who we are today. And sometimes people like to skip over and go like to when I graduated from college, but I'm a firm believer that it didn't start there. I'm a firm believer that for me, it started in school. It was my elementary. I went to Catholic school. My mom put us all to Catholic school, and it was Miss Fryer, it was Miss Yard, and it was Sister Jean Teresa, who had, like, the greatest impact when I was younger, because I thought my mom was mean and strict. Oh, my God, I didn't think anyone could be stricter than my mom. And I ran into those three in Catholic school. I'm like, this world is cruel. How did I get these teachers? But they were so amazing because they taught me a lot, you know, with being firm and, you know, making firm decisions. And what was my son thought was really cruel was that when he was in fifth grade, he had my same fifth grade teachers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's,
they taught for a long time. Yeah. And he's like, "Mom, how did you ever make it out of there? Those teachers are really mean, my goodness," and he couldn't understand it, but I was grateful for them. So think back to when you were in high school. Who were you, and what teacher had the most influence over you or in your life?
Wow. I you know, when I think about high school, my whole entire upbringing really was, I was very fortunate to have a lot of people in my life, women and otherwise, women and men, who saw something in me that perhaps I didn't know, but made me feel that I was quite special. And of course, with that pride came the responsibility of making certain that I was true to that. As I think about my upbringing, and we were raised in the church, so I am a person of faith. And, you know, as I think about my number one model is perhaps my 93-year-old mother. And so she, to me, was my first teacher. And she still is teaching me even now at this advanced age. And so I look to her as a compass, if you will, of what is right and what we could or should be doing for one another. And she taught all of us, all 10 of us, a servant leadership model before it became a term, and we watched her, you know, put a lot of emphasis, of course, on education. Me and she and my father both did, but also I watched her, how she carried herself and how she was able to be independent even as a married woman, and then to be thoughtful and to be very, very able to care for herself. And so from that perspective, I watched and I saw that. Now, along the education route, there were several teachers that I had. My godmother was an educator who, while I never sat in her class, she was one that I admired because I watched her go through her teaching experience. I watched her, as she pursued, additional education. And so we knew that education was the key. And when you look at where I'm from, while it's, it was an area that was bustling at the time, of course, all of our southern towns, as the migration has occurred and many of the young people have left and have yet to come back, there are a lot of need. And so I watch in awe of people who are still there and doing great work. So for me, the teachers were my Sunday school teachers. They were all of course, the educators from the first grade through the 12th grade, and I can probably name every teacher I ever had. But I would say my first teacher and my best mentor even to date is my mother.
I can certainly relate to that. When it comes down to my family and the real grassroots, it's my grandmother. I think back to a lot of things, and she's still teaching me today, she's 94. Yeah, she's 94, 95 this year, and I still get my greatest wisdom from her. She still teaches me how to cook.
She's still teaching you how to cook? Oh, wow.
I was trying to cook macaroni cheese. I'm like, can you give me some help here? Because it just, like, the last time I did it came out like a brick. And so so she's still there. She's still there to help me along the way, and I can still call on her. And if I ever need a good laugh, she's my sense of humor. I can call her, and she's just the brightest light in my life. So I can certainly relate to that. Well, tell me, Ruby, how did you get started in your career? Who gave you your first break?
Oh, wow. Let's see. My first break, I would say, as I finished my, I worked, of course, in high school. So I worked at the mall in a department store in the shoe section. And I had a great boss who was very understanding and was very encouraging. And his name was Mr. Bazemore. And so he was very helpful and encouraged me my senior year. But I would say my career probably got a start, believe it or not, in high school because I was a part of Junior Achievement. And I had an opportunity to do 2 years of Junior Achievement and got a chance to see business and see how business works and all of the various aspects of business. And after my freshman year in college, I came back home and worked at one of the local banks, and I got a chance to see banking. And it kind of changed my trajectory, if you will, because I thought I wanted to be a chemistry major. I thought I wanted to be a physician. But then I really saw the power of economics and how it really impacted every part of our being as a society. And so I decided to pursue it. And having that banking experience really helped me make that as a decision for my career. I was very impressed with the Federal Reserve System and Andrew Bremer, who was the vice chair of the Fed at that time, and Paul Volcker, who was the chair of the Fed at that time. They were both people that I admired. And so having that banking experience, having those banking opportunities when I graduated from Howard University, I went to work at what is now Bank of America. And that's where I literally started my professional career.
Wow, that is really amazing. That is really great. I mean, like I said, it really does start somewhere. In high school, you're able to get a lot of leadership skills and have that be transferred into what you're doing today and just being in the right place at the right time and just grabbing onto mentors.
Absolutely.
So that is absolutely amazing. So how did you overcome challenges and setbacks and deal with periods of self-doubt? I know that along the way, as we began to go through the various different angles and shifts in our life, And as we, you know, one of my spiritual mothers would say that, you know, at every level there's a different devil, and you have to try to overcome every setback and every challenge, and just understand that that he knows the plan he has for you. It's not a plan to harm you, but a plan to make you strong and a plan for your future. And so I know that we all have these challenges and setbacks and these periods of self-doubt, but how do you deal with yours, and how did you overcome the challenges?
Well, I will say, you know, that's always a work in progress, because I don't think that anyone has ever evolved to the point where you think you have it all, know it all, or just can overcome everything. But for me, I'm a person of faith. And so I love the fact that you've quoted the Jeremiah scripture, where we really do believe that God does have plans for all of us, and it is just for us to walk into that plan and walk into that vision that he has for us. So for me, I joke with my team and those that I my colleagues, a lot of times I call myself a pessimistic optimist, because I look at what's the worst case scenario, what can happen, what's the worst that can happen, and then I figure out a solution. And if I can figure out a solution to the worst thing that can happen, it can't get anything but better. Because if I can handle the worst thing, then I can handle anything else that comes before that. And so for me, I'm very solutions-oriented, but I am a person of faith, and I believe that we're all here for a reason, and I believe that we all have a purpose, and I think it really is up to us as we live our lives to figure out what that purpose is and to be about the business of living it. And so for me, challenges come every day. You know, my role is a thinking role, and it really literally makes me think every day. But I am sometimes heartened, even in the midst of challenges, knowing that this too shall pass. It cannot last, you know, forever. And that if we can get to a solution, it can and it will get better. So I live my life in faith, and I, you know, I'm unapologetic about that. But I believe that we all have something that we can offer, and challenges will come, but that's what makes life worth living, and that's what makes life happen. And so I'm the type of person that just deals with things as they come. I am a very direct, straight shooter. And so when I deal with it, I'm done with it. And then we move on.
There you go. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about your role. You talked about your team. Now, you are the president and CEO of a major organization, United Way National mm-hmm. Capital. What has been your experience about diversity as a black woman and black women in leadership?
Well, I will say, you know, I've had a phenomenal experience. I think that I've been very, very fortunate. I've had some phenomenal mentors who have opened doors for me that I never knew were being opened, who have exposed me to things that I never would have, you know, even known to look for myself. And some of those mentors were African-American females. Some of those mentors were Caucasian females. And some of those mentors were actually males. And so for me, my experience has been, as an African-American woman, understanding and being grateful for sometimes just being in the room and being exposed and knowing how to make your presence known in a way that's helpful and not hurtful. There are a lot of times I've been the only female in the room. There are a lot of times I've been the only African-American in the room. And while I don't take pride in that, given where we are as a society today, that should not be something that you really are proud of, because there are so many talented and phenomenal people of color whose perspectives can really and truly make a solid contribution to society. Nevertheless, we are where we are. And so sometimes I found myself in those places, and I think, you know, where I've tried to add value in those situations is to be thoughtful, and to be solutions-oriented, and to be, you know, value-minded, because I believe that when you bring that to the table, it doesn't matter how you got there, doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been there, doesn't matter if you're the only one there. Value, true value always speaks, and true value is always listened to. And so for me, it's always about trying to be as substantive as I can, not assuming that I have all of the answers. Sometimes you have to listen. Sometimes you have to to follow. Sometimes you have to lead. And so recognizing all of those aspects of being in the room occur, being thoughtful enough and having the wherewithal to determine which role I need to play at which time, I think has helped me accomplish at least what others may deem successful. And I just think that I'm still a work in progress.
That's very deep, very, very deep. Wow. So let's talk about the United Way. You have a three-pronged foundation and approach in enriching lives in the community, education, financial stability, and health. What implementation strategies do you have in place to achieve those goals along with the partners in the community?
Well, what I love about United Way, and you know, United Way is a storied brand. It's been around for over 100 years. And having the opportunity to lead the United Way in the nation's capital, literally a stone's throw from the White House, and we're home to United Way Worldwide, where my colleagues are literally around the globe having impact, and we're their United Way, it is it's an honor, first and foremost, to be able to do this work. But the United Way brand is one that is evolving, even though it is 100 years old. But it's built on the foundations of being able to really serve and help the community. And so for us here in the National Capital Area, it really is about the families that I try to envision every day that I wake up, every day that I walk into those offices, every meeting that I go to, no matter how long my day is. I always try to keep in mind that this is about serving those families and sometimes being a voice for people who don't have a voice. And, you know, the United Way is just one avenue of being able to make that happen. And so we do it in what I call three C's. You know, we are convener, we're collaborator, and we're catalyst. We convene others because we want to work with others. We're collaborative because we do absolutely nothing on our own. And we want to be catalytic in bringing innovative thought leadership solutions to helping our communities thrive and helping those families in our community really and truly live and be their best. So United Way is a business model. It's a little bit of a hybrid. It's an organization that collects funds and now seeks, you know, grants to be able to do a lot of this programmatic work that has been a little non-traditional, because most people know United Way from a workplace giving campaign, if you will. But we are also an organization that is seeking to do work, transformative work, in our community as well. So now getting people to see us in another light, being able to deal with a brand that's been around for 100 years, but also being able to really be seen as helpful and a solid contributor in the community. So for us, that hybrid model of being a grantor and a funder makes us a little unique, because most non-for-profits are either a grantee, meaning you're out looking for the next new dollars to be able to support the program that's out there, or you're a funder looking for the next new innovative thing that you want to see grow and to become successful. We do both. And that puts us in a little bit of a different spot than perhaps some of the other nonprofits that we see and talk to every day.
Oh, wonderful. Now, the United Way launched a community initiative called Do More 24. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's coming up very soon, June 2nd of this year. It's our fourth year. And Do More 24 is a 24-hour day of online giving. And it's really just an opportunity for us to help support the nonprofits in the community that are on the ground serving families every day. It's a fundraising opportunity. It's an opportunity for everyone, no matter where you are, no matter your cause or your lot in life, everyone can do something. And going to domore24.org is just an opportunity for anyone and everyone to be able to support nonprofits in the community. There are over 600 nonprofits, so no matter your cause or your passion, you can likely find something that you can support with regards to Do More. And so we've raised about $3.5 million over the last 3 years. This is our fourth year doing it coming up. And we're looking to try to raise over $1 million again in 24 hours to really help many of our nonprofits continue the work that they do serving families every day.
Now, how do you go about doing it? What's the format in raising the funds? Is it call in? Do people donate on the website? What's the format for that?
They donate on the website. And again, the website is do more, the word do more, and the numbers 24, unitedwaynca.org, or, of course, you can go to unitedwaynca.org, and it's basically you have an opportunity to look for causes that meet your needs or your family's needs. You can look alphabetically at any number of the organizations that are out there, and everyone can just make a contribution, no matter how small or how large, that will help that organization sustain its work. And, of course, you know, the United Way is there. We power the entire initiative. We don't charge nonprofits to participate. There is no entrance fee. Everyone is there. All of those 600 organizations have signed up to be able to do this work and be able to reach perhaps some new donors, be able to share a little bit of the work that they're doing and their story, and to be able to engage the average everyday citizen who may or may not think that they can make a difference. And so this is an opportunity for us to say to everyone, no matter where you are, everyone can make a difference. So you don't have to be a huge philanthropist with a large, you know, sum of money that you can be helpful with. There is something that everyone can do. And in addition to giving, no matter how small, there's an opportunity to volunteer. There's an opportunity to engage the community. There's an opportunity to think about what needs to be done and what we can all do. So do more is all about, it's do more, it's give more, but it's being more as a community. And so that's something that everyone can contribute towards.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. I absolutely love that. And I'll make sure that I'll put a link up as well, if you don't mind, on our website.
We would love it.
And yeah, and so therefore we can get more people engaged. And so part of our opportunity to, you know, we like to say that we create a world without borders and connect women to power. And one of the ways of doing that is to ask CEOs like yourself to share your jewels of wisdom. And the jewels of wisdom is your advice to young entrepreneurs, the women that are aspiring to be. So share your jewels of wisdom with us.
Wow. I guess as I think about, you know, how I live my life and, you know, I've lost a few siblings along this journey, and I recognize very holistically what's important. And so that's why I'm unapologetic about my faith. That's why I am unwavering and doing the right thing. I think, you know, for me, a jewel is basically caring about people. I think as a model, I pattern my model after the servant leader model, because I believe if you care about the people, the work will take care of itself. I think that you have to always be able to do work that you can be proud of at the end of the day when you go home to lay your head on your pillow. I live to make not only my 93, almost 94-year-old mother proud, but I live to have my husband to be proud of who I am and what I do. And we have two daughters that I hope that they are proud of who I am and what I try to exhibit as a model, as a female model for them. And so it's all about what matters. And
wow.
So for me, the jewels are, you know, what drives you, what motivates you, and stay true to that. Serve others, and believe you me, you will get it back tenfold. I can tell you that is so true, and it's not a cliche. It is very, very, very true. It is not, you know, just for those who are, you know, of faith movements. I just believe that life is that universe of giving back, and you are what you put out, and you do
Absolutely.
Get back what you put out. And so for me, I live my life now. I've come to a point I don't need anything. I recognize that I've been blessed. We don't live an ostentatious life, but now I live for the next generation. And so someone does not, I don't need anything, but if someone will do something for someone else and they pass it on, then I've gotten it back. If someone will help my daughters, you know, as they continue their journey and, you know, I believe right now my number one goal is that they grow to be confident young women in the decisions that they have to make. And, and if they're able to do that, then, you know, my number one job on life and, you know, in life, it's being a mother. And if we can do that right, then I think we're pretty okay. And so
wow,
I don't need
that's
anything.
Amazing.
And if someone,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I do
so,
live that. It's
yeah,
and people have been very helpful
right
to them.
Here. Yeah. And Rosie, that was really great. And we're going to leave it right there. And what we're going to do, I mean, I really do thank you for taking the time with us today. But we're going to leave it right there. And we're going to share some more of your jewels of wisdom online at the website. But I do sincerely want to thank you for taking the time out to join us today on the Silk Undressed Talk Radio Show, Rosie, and I'm going to put up the link to the website for the Do March 24. Your jewels of wisdom are so empowering. I was sitting here taking notes as you were saying because it is something that we all, I mean, it's just really wonderful, and I love your passion about your advice to women, and you write it all starts with us, it's all start within. And so I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone that are listening to us today and those who are going to come back and listen to us later. Please make sure you go online to silkundressed.com to get connected to the women that we are honoring for our 25 Influential Women of 2016. Also, keep an eye out on your email for the release of the list for our 20. Well, we're only supposed to be 5 men, but I think they're really beginning to like to be surrounded by all these women. And now we're up to 10 distinguished men of 2016. So until next time, once again, this is the Lady CEO. My name is Cece Cole. Until the next time, be safe, be well, and don't forget that we were all created in advance for God's workmanship. Have a great evening. Rosie, thank you so very much.
Oh, Ms. Cole, thank you so much for this opportunity. You have been a blessing indeed.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.